Beloved, there's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now. How about you? If you'd rather be somewhere else, I want you to think about what it means to come together as the people of God. I want you to think about it in terms of how ancient Israel viewed their most holy times when they came together, and a very special prayer that the high priest would pray during that time, especially on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That prayer is found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. It is a prayer that God gave Israel to pray. God gave it to Moses, who gave it to Aaron, who then would proclaim this before the people of God as they assembled themselves together, and basically they were the congregation of God's people. This prayer has been used through the centuries, not just by the Jews, but it has been adopted by the Christians, and sometimes there are a lot of churches that end every service or every special time with this prayer. I was privileged to be a part of a funeral, to be present at a funeral, where this was the closing benediction. I want you to listen to it. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about why we're here and who we really are and what it's all about. I'm convinced that this prayer captures the essence of everything. Here it is. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this, thus you shall bless the people of Israel." Stop. Thus you shall bless. How do you do that? You shall bless the people of God. You shall bless Israel. How do you bless them? Well, I might bless you by saying my sermon's over and God's blessings upon you. The priesthood was to bless because this was a blessing that ultimately came from God. Now, I'm going to define bless and that they are to give a blessing a little differently than perhaps you've ever heard it before. You can bless someone, and you are blessed only if the curse is removed. If you're cursed, you cannot receive a blessing without that curse being removed. The whole purpose of the priesthood was basically to be the intermediary between God and Israel, to provide for all the sacrifices of atonement, of forgiveness of sins, to remove the curse which hangs upon every one of us even now, because sin is present, sin is real. So as they came to give this blessing, it was a blessing ultimately coming from God. And it's the Lord who blesses. There it is in verse 24 of Numbers, the 6th chapter. The Lord bless you. He's the only one that can do that. It's not the priesthood per se. It's ultimately God Himself in all of His glory and all of His power. Why are we here today? To receive a blessing from the Lord. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, maybe it looks like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. Keep you. Keep you safe. Keep you from being lost. Keep you from dying. The Lord holds you in His hands and keeps you in security and safety. It doesn't stop. I'm so glad it doesn't stop there. There are basically three lines in this beautiful prayer. The first line is, the Lord bless you and keep you. Then the second, the Lord. Notice the third line in verse 26. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. We have a triple blessing that comes from the Lord. You'll notice it's all caps. That is the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh Himself. It is Yahweh who blesses you and keeps you. It is Yahweh who makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Oh, I love that. That's the middle one of the three lines. That's the juicy middle, that creamy filling in the middle of this sandwich. That's actually what it can be called, even in literature. It begins and it ends. There's three parts. It's the middle that is one of the most significant truths of all. We've seen that many times in our study of Leviticus and other times. That middle point, the Lord makes His face to shine upon you. Most of you, I think, understand what that means. How would you like me to get up here going and glaring and just snarling at you? That's not what this is. What does it mean, the Lord make His face shine upon you? May He show His wonderful smile. As He is giving a blessing, He is in essence smiling upon you and me. That's why I'm here. Why are you here? I'm here to receive the Lord's smile, His blessing, His goodness, His grace. That's what it says. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. There's one of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible, grace. It is the refreshing beauty of God that makes all the difference. And this is all because the curse has been removed and God does not come to curse us. He comes to save us, to redeem us, to bless us. What is salvation? Some people look at being a Christian like it's a curse. It's something that's just miserable for some. You can tell by the look on their face. They're not smiling because they think God isn't smiling upon them. And they have all this guilt that's unresolved and their life is still a mess. And why do I come here every time to receive a blessing from God? To be blessed by Him. Because He's the only one that can truly bless. For Him to smile upon me and to partake of His presence. God is here. If you come for any other reason, then God is here. He's here in the singing. He's here in the prayers. He's here in the Lord's Supper. Yes, He's here in the preaching. He's here in everything we do as a congregation that has come, has been assembled before the Lord to worship Him in His holiness. The third line. The Lord lift up His countenance, His face upon you. Make your face shine, Lord. Oh, shine, Lord, in the middle line. And the Lord lift up His countenance, His face upon you and give you peace. I almost don't really understand that. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. You know what really is happening in that process some way or another? If you were in trouble and you went to a magistrate who was beneficent, good, and you knew you were a dead man, a dead woman before him because the law has condemned you to die and you knew it. But if that magistrate, if that judge was a good and gracious and merciful judge, and there you were groveling on the ground. Do you know what he would do? Well, I don't know. You never hear of anything like that ever really happening. But it does with our God. Here's what happens with our God. Here we are in sin before Him. We are groveling on the ground. We are prostrate before Him. We are recognizing we deserve to die. And what does He come and do? He comes and lifts us up. And makes us look Him in the face as He looks into our eyes. What a beautiful imagery here. Amen. The Lord does all. Why do you come here to worship God? Just to hear somebody preach at you? Just to sing a couple of melodious songs? And hear some fancy prayers? Well, none of that's wrong, but I'm coming to see God. I'm coming to receive His blessing, so are you. I'm coming to see His face, to experience His grace, His goodness, His beauty. So many people look at God as an evil ogre, a tyrant, a dictator. I don't know. There are thousands of bad words for Him that people give all the time. God is good. That's why we're here. Ah, beautiful prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you, beloved. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You've heard it said 1,001 times, peace is not the absence of conflict or war. It is the state of wholeness before God. In the middle of war and conflict and trouble and strife and turmoil, you can be at peace with God even if your world is falling apart. Do you believe that? This is the blessing of peace. Okay. You want to see this all dressed up in New Testament clothes? Well, maybe it's close, especially this last part. Because unless we receive the blessing of God, and He smiles down upon us, and then He lifts up His face, and in the process lifts up our very lives to look at Him, we will never receive peace. So, we're going to emphasize this prayer in the New Testament in this way. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And in Philippians 4, there's a discernible kind of prayer, almost, but not quite, and yet it is, but it isn't. Oh, don't you love it when somebody talks like that? It is, but it isn't. Maybe, maybe not. But I want you to see it at the end of Philippians. Oh, yeah, at the end of the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Here's where it begins. Verse 4. You knew I was going here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why would he say that? Well, lots of reasons. Because the Lord has blessed us. He has given us peace. He has lifted up our countenance and he's lifted us up. And he has smiled down upon us. So why aren't you happy this morning? Oh, I see so many smiling faces, but in a crowd this large, there's always got to be somebody that's going through some really bad stuff. I understand. Don't ask. I understand. Rejoice. You mean, preacher, you can be happy when your world is crashing down around your ears? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because the Lord can bless you in spite of the curse all around you. Because He can take your sins away and give you redemption. He can lift you up. He can give you a peace that is unimaginable. Oh, Paul's going to say that pretty much in the next couple of verses. My life can be an absolute turmoil. You want to use another word that I think most of us can understand? Stress. Are you stressed to the max right now? I know many of you are going through some stress that could kill a rhinoceros. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's so good to say that. Paul says, I think I'll say it again. Look, I'm paraphrasing in verse 4. Rejoice! And then it says, let your reasonableness, your gentleness, be known to everyone. I have a problem. When I get stressed, I get irritable. Just ask Pam. And then the anger, and I lose it so easily, especially with those I love the most. Boy, I need this. See, you do realize one of my biggest problems at being a preacher is I really preach for me, not you. Well, I do preach for you. But I need this. But I think in times like this, we all do. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. How do you do that? By learning to rejoice in the Lord. Or to use a phrase from the Psalms, to delight in the Lord. Now, I'm going to make a play on the word delight. You love the Lord with all your heart, and He lightens your load. That's delightful when you think about it. He takes care of your problems and gives you the strength to go through
anything. So let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. There's the presence of God. There's the smiling face of God. There's the reality that God is here. He's not up there and distant and far away and uninvolved and uncaring. He's come down in more ways than one. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus came down in the flesh, before God became man in the flesh, He was there for His people. He loved them dearly. So, how can I rejoice? By maintaining a gentle spirit that focuses upon the joy of the Lord and realizing the Lord is here. The Lord is now. He is present. He's alive. He's real. And because of that, so you're about to see, well, it's not really a prayer as such, but it's talking about prayer in verse 6. So do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. That's simple. Simple to say, hard to do. When you have one or two things happening and then three or four more jump in and your life is like a bowl of alphabet soup, just pick a letter, any letter. You can think of a word that simply is just a word that's more about the stress that's falling on you. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Oh, I love that. No, actually I don't, because that means I'm supposed to be thankful all the time. That's what it says. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Don't forget that. That's like the whipped cream on top of the dessert, the blessing of being able to pray to God. Don't forget to thank Him. Thanklessness is one of the first things that will kill your soul. Ingratitude. So you pray with every kind of prayer, with supplications, and don't forget thanksgiving, and then let your requests be made known to God. Oh, and here it is. This is what ties in exactly with that beautiful blessing, that benediction, that priestly benediction in Numbers, the 6th chapter. When you do all of this that Paul is talking about, in verse 4 all the way down to verse 6, verse 7 says, and, there's a conjunction, it joins it together, and, you do all of that he talked about, that we've already talked about, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wait. And the Lord give you peace, Numbers said, and now we realize that this is what brings about the joy of the Lord. This is what, because we know He is present. We know that He's right there. He's listening to every breath we take. You realize with our breath, that's how we talk. He's listening to every prayer we make. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How in the world can you be calm in the midst of chaos? That's something that only comes with the blessing of God, that God blesses us with. If we are looking to His dear, sweet, smiling face and allowing Him to lift up our countenance in His grace. And then Paul says, finally, brothers. Oh, this will preach. Let me just try it and see. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think. Remember that word. Think about such things. You have to get it in your head, to get it into your heart. You have to think. Christianity is not about the thoughtless life. It's about the thinking life. So think about these things. Is that all we have to do? Just think happy thoughts. Ever had somebody say that? Oh, just think happy thoughts. Well, that's sweet. That's nice. That's not good enough. Look at what else he says. Anything worthy of praise, think about such things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice. It's not just about thinking. It's about learning to put into practice everything we know about the blessed God that we serve. Practice these things. Oh, and lo and behold, and the God of peace. There's that word. Started at the end of that beautiful priestly benediction in number 6. And no, oh, there it is in verse 7 of the 4th chapter of Philippians. And here it is again in Philippians 4 verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. Wait, that's... God is with you. He's present. He's real. Oh, you want to see it again? Third time. Three times they say is the charm. You do know what charm means, don't you? Really where it comes from? It comes from the Greek word that means grace. Third time is the charm. The Greek word for grace is charis. And wait, charm is related to it. Wait, so there it is. The peace of God will be with you in verse 7. And then you put into practice everything you've thought about and learned and received and heard and seen. Put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Drop down to verse, well, lo and behold, the last verse of Philippians. Verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grace of God. God will be gracious to you. Remember number 6? He will be gracious to you. He will give you peace. Grace in its most elementary form, even in the ancient Greek world with a bunch of idolatrous pagans, meant beauty, something beautiful. And it develops from there into many wondrous spiritual concepts. But it starts with beauty. We sing a song, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. You can't let that happen. I mean, what do you think Paul is talking about? You can't let the beauty of Christ be seen in you unless you believe in the beautiful God who smiles upon you, who gives you grace and peace, two of the greatest concepts in all of the Bible. And so, we close out this sermon. As we have begun it, turn back to Numbers, the 6th chapter. And God places this priestly benediction upon you, upon me. Number 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you, beloved, and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, His face upon you, and give you peace. Do you know the peace that passes understanding? The grace and peace that Paul begins almost every one of his epistles with? Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. The grace is the merciful beauty of God that comes to save you from your sins. Have you received that salvation? And the peace is what comes after you've received the grace. You'll notice in almost every case, it's grace and peace. Grace comes first. You receive the mercy of God through the blood of Christ. And then you have peace. A state of wholeness and well-being with God. Are you a child of God this morning? Have you fallen away? Have you never named the name of Christ? You don't know grace. You'll never have peace. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. If you leave the Lord, like maybe you have, you've left the only one who can give you grace and peace. If you miss that, and you want to come to God this morning through the obedience of your faith, will you believe? Will you repent of your sins? Confess the name of Christ and touch the face of God in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins? Will you come as together we stand and sing?